systems are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
And it is time for Tech Thursday right here on eRadio SA. Good afternoon and welcome. 3 minutes past 3 o'clock. Your mic is on, Kane. How are you?
Hey, Ion. Thank you so much. Well, always good to be back. Happy to be here and excited to get into this week's news. Obviously, we've got a lot of kickers again kicking off this week. And it's going to be good to go through everything and see what's up in tech in South Africa.
You have a very interesting lineup today. I just can't beat it. Hey. Not even with my Vodacom vouchers.
So today we're taking a look at what some of the best and worst mobile networks in South Africa are, ranked by over 300,000 different speed tests across those networks. And we're also taking a look at the digital model of the famous artifact that was found near a Roman shipwreck, which is one of the first analog computers ever found, about 1,000 years ahead of its time. We've got Microsoft, which is going to be buying some AI and speech recognition technology from Nuance, who is a digital tech firm that is selling Microsoft that technology. We have some smart cities, 3 smart cities actually planned for South Africa. I'm pretty sure you'll know 2 of them. And SA government is planning to develop an online ID for all South Africans.
My word, Kane. Why don't I just switch my mic off and give it all to you? I can't beat it. But anyway, let me try. Telkom was accused of unlawfully using network infrastructure of another provider to offer fiber broadband services. Oops. That was a bust earlier this week. Then also Facebook is testing a new speed dating app. It looks like it's going to be a video-based thing. It's called Sparked. Well, look at that. Facebook's always changing, chopping and changing.
Datebook.
Hey?
At least it's not date.
Oh, no, that would be like so corny, hey? And then Vodacom has announced the launch of the VodaLend Voucher Advance, which allows Vodacom customers to buy food and appliances on credit. I think the people are going to go boss now because everybody's just buying and living off credit at the moment, eh?
Yeah, my friend's going to ask me, so how did you buy that food? I thought you had no money. I'll be like, no, my ISP paid for it. My phone
Thanks,
paid
Vodacom.
For it.
Well, before we forget, guess who is our sponsor today?
Yeah, guessing that is probably one of the most
difficult
things.
Yeah, it's impossible, actually. It's the Tomartin robot. It's a wearable robot. You wear it on your head, and it feeds you tomatoes all day long. Why?
Does it only feed you tomatoes, or if I find some fruit gums that are the size
of the
tomato?
No, it has to be tomatoes. So look there, it's sitting on your neck, and then it's got all these tomatoes, and it kind of gives it to you as you go.
Whenever I'm walking around town and I'm very busy, you know what I could really do with a tomato, a whole tomato fed straight to me.
Why would it be? Can't you put something else in there as well? I mean, it is a round slot, so how about apples maybe or something?
Start with the fruits, then go to the vegetables.
Yeah, oh, ew, no, man, look at that. It's actually messy. Look how it's feeding him. No, thanks. But anyway, that's the Tomartin. It even has a timer, so you can set it for every, 5 minutes? Every 10 minutes you want a new tomato, every 15 minutes.
Jeepers, yeah. Imagine you do it like, if you're doing it every 15 minutes, you're basically consuming like an entire bottle of All Gold, like 32 whole tomatoes a day. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, no, I think you're going to overdose. I've never seen a situation like that. But it doesn't look very appetizing, to be very honest.
I love the fact that it's not cherry tomatoes. It's whole tomatoes.
It's an actual tomato. Yes, no, listen, that's crazy. But anyway, that's our sponsor for today. Chantel on the WhatsApp line saying she's going to do that with Vodacom. She's going to buy her food and stuff with Vodacom from now on. Thanks for telling us.
That's going to be really cool. Let me know how long that lasts. Sure, that'll be really cool.
I wonder what the terms and conditions are there. Anyway,
is it a Voda voucher? What's it called?
VodaLend.
VodaLend. And
yeah.
You have to pay it back.
I thought it was
month.
A joke. We were going to see in the article, but I don't know.
A Markham's account for food.
Yeah, you can even get Nando's with this voucher, apparently.
Oh, wow.
This is pretty new to me. But anyway, we live in 2021. Anything's possible.
You can buy your daughter and your burger from the same place.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Listen, I nothing amazes me anymore. Let me just say that. Nothing. Anything is possible. Anything. But anyway, Kane, take it away.
Right, so we're off onto our first. So I don't know if you remember, but about 2 weeks ago, we actually had a look at a similar report or a review, and that was a report based on the quality of mobile networks in South Africa based on how much negative feedback they got. So the people who got the most negative feedback had the worst score, and the people that had the least negative feedback had the best score.
Yeah.
But in this particular test, we're actually looking at performance-based results. So the report is based on 350,000 odd speed tests that were performed by thousands of My Broadband speed test users across South Africa between the 1st of January and the 31st of March 2021. The research showed that South Africa had an average mobile download speed of 33.23 megabytes per second and an average upload speed of about 13 megabytes per second. So it's very interesting results. We'll go from the network with the worst quality scores all the way to the best. So coming in at the worst quality mobile network scores in South Africa over the last 3 months.
That can I guess?
Yes, you can.
The worst, right?
The worst.
Celsi.
No, Rain.
Oh, yeah. Rain had, that makes sense.
Rain also had the most negative feedback in the previous report. So it's funny how these numbers are actually somewhat correlating. You know, worse quality scores, more complaints. Better quality scores, less complaints.
Yeah.
So the next up on the list actually is not the same as the previous list. The previous one, the second most complaints was actually Telkom. In this one, the second worst quality score is Cell C.
Okay.
Cell C coming at the second worst. Interesting though that they get that, you know, that they don't actually have pretty good, you know, Cell C usually sticks somewhat under the radar.
Yeah.
I always think they're kind of a safe bet. But in this scenario, no, apparently not. Then it was Telkom coming in at number third, third best, sort of. Second best is Vodacom. Okay. And first best, again, we have MTN.
Wow.
Right?
Viva MTN.
Viva MTN coming in as the underdog. So MTN had the highest average download speed at 64.29 megabytes per second, followed by Vodacom on 32.76 megabytes per second, Telkom at 27, and Cell C at 20. Rain making a terrible 10 megabytes per second. It's one-sixth of the speed of MTN. So Rain, which is had the worst score, only has one-sixth of the average speed of MTN, one-half of the average speed of Telkom, one-third of the average speed of Vodacom. Very interesting.
I think Rain kind of, what do you say, not undersell, but what, oversell? Can you oversell? What's the word?
I think it's like being in a position of being overbought, where you've advertised such a good product that kind of bodes so well with so many consumers, and you haven't taken into account delivering that product or service which you're advertising. And even in the report, they say the decline in Rain's network performance was likely a result of network congestion in some areas because of higher subscriber numbers. So they're overbought, and their priority now would obviously be to upgrade their existing infrastructure in enough time that they don't lose the edge that they've acquired with the large influx of customers. It's a very interesting scenario for them. They're definitely probably going to be facing some competition from the other mobile networks which have ownership of that infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be offering any cheap deals, that's for sure, right now for Rain. So I think they're actually in a little bit of a chess board here, where they're trying to make a decision as to how to come back. Very interesting to see MTN at the top there. I thought Vodacom usually offers number one coverage. I will say that they offer.
Yeah.
They do advertise to being everywhere. But it'll be interesting to see how these scores evolve over the rest of the year. And I think it plays a very important role in the longevity of these mobile networks, because someone like Rain, you're going to come in, you're going to leave. You're going to be a hit and a miss if you don't fix the issues that you have. I mean, to have an average download speed, a sixth of the speed of the number one mobile network in South Africa is like really playing with a broken you know, hockey stick trying to play hockey, you know.
But now that you're talking about Vodacom, that's everywhere. You know what I spotted over the weekend? We went to the Mossel Bay area, and when we came back, nice and aside, when we came down Kaiman's Pass, you know, just before you get into wilderness, I saw these trees. And way at the top, there was a tree that looked a bit dodgy. It's like, what is this tree? It's just looking too perfect. And then I saw it was actually a cell phone mast. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, look. That's not a tree. Come on. That's not a tree. Because you can, but it blends in so beautifully. I must say, it's really well done.
If
you look really carefully, you can see that the pole that it's on, it's not a real tree. But it really looks like looks like a Christmas tree.
We saw one of those trees the other day, and surprisingly enough, it had some of the most birds in. But you could see the birds had scratched all the metal and stuff.
Oh, really?
Because they're actually quite curious about what it is.
Yes, you know? But you don't notice it at first. At first glance, you don't notice it. But it's so carefully blended into nature.
It'll be so interesting if on next week's show we find out how much those trees actually cost.
I would love to know.
Hey?
Who would we ask?
I don't know. Is there many one you can put in your backyard? Is this like, do you get a special kind of kickback for doing something like that?
I wonder. Because also if you're quite into nature, you're not going to love it when somebody puts up a ugly old cell phone tower. You know, many neighborhoods have signed petitions against these things, and then usually they get removed. It happened in Cape Town recently, but I think that one was just in the way and blocking people's view. Mm. But anyway, somebody on the WhatsApp line saying, I'm surprised Telkom isn't the worst. Also, Telkane, Sheldon says, aware.
I'm also quite surprised that Telkom isn't the worst. I mean, you would think that they are, but I think it's because we're looking at specifically mobile networks here, and Telkom is faces a lot of its issues on its internet, like its fixed lines, fiber, and that sort of thing. I think it has more of an issue on that side, whereas the biggest issue I face on Telkom isn't necessarily the speed, but actually establishing a connection. If I'm out of Telkom cell range, I'm pretty useless. And Telkom sells these data packages actually that claim, you know, hey, you can have this many gigs, but only on our network. So if you happen to connect to a Cell C tower, which you don't actually have control over, your phone automatically places the connection. If you accidentally connect to a Cell C tower, then you don't get your data bundle. And then you can buy all network data bundles. But it's a very complex issue actually, because you're buying an all network, let's say you buy an all network data bundle. Now you buy a Telkom network data bundle and you're on the Telkom network. If Telkom decides, hey, we're going to use your all network bundle first for the Telkom connection that you have, and then we'll use your Telkom only data, you as the consumer get cheated. So not having control over that doesn't make the deal as valuable as you would hope. I've also noticed that with things like they offer you like a 20 gig plus a 20 gig, and then they'll offer 20 gigs via Night Owl. And that Night Owl, you actually have to turn it, you almost have to enable it. So when 12 o'clock comes and you want to use your Night Owl, if you don't, for instance, turn your router off and then turn it back on, it carries on using your daytime data in the nighttime.
No, man. So you actually have to do something to do that.
And it works both ways. Like if you're going into the morning and you've turned off your router in the evening, you got onto the nighttime data and now you're in the morning, and you don't restart your router that morning, it will continue on the nighttime data all through the next day until there's a connection restarted or Telkom happens to decide to restart that connection. So they don't have all their tools in the right basket, to be quite honest with you. I also noticed another issue where they had their 50th birthday celebration or some sort of celebration, and you could buy a 24-hour data package for 24 hours. And you could buy multiple of them. So it would be 10 rand for a gig. So let's say you bought...
Hey, that's not bad.
So yeah, let's say you bought... 3 gigs, so you bought one 10 gig package, then you bought one gig package for 10 rand, then you buy another 1 gig package for 10 rand, and then you buy another one gig package for 10 rand. Now you should have 3 gigs worth of data, but once your 1 gig runs out, then your data connection is interrupted and it doesn't use the other 2 gigs worth of available data until you fully reset the SIM. So there's a lot of those kind of problems which should put Telkom at you know, the worst mobile network. But interestingly enough, if we look at the old report, which talks about which mobile networks have the worst negative ratings, Telkom comes in at second worst. So Rain is first with the most, then it's Telkom, then it's Vodacom, then it's Cell C. But when we're comparing it against the speed of those networks respectively, then Telkom's position that they place, if I'm looking now, is third. So from second worst to third best in terms of speed, they definitely in some hard times, I think.
Thank you, Kane. I also see Telkom and OpenServe are accused of unlawfully using network infrastructure of another provider to offer fiber broadband services. The unlawful use of network infrastructure was discovered during the recent 30 million rand upgrade for the fiber optic cable network in Midstream Estate. I think that's up in Gauteng. Anyway, they kind of used another network stuff.
Now, how does someone just happen upon doing that?
Hush, they did it, you know.
Do they walk up to the infrastructure and just use it?
This looks nice. Let's use it, yeah.
I wonder how you go about doing something like that and how you get caught. How embarrassing.
Yeah, and also I see the cables were unlabeled, so now they probably have to pull everything out again and redo it because the other people say, no, sorry, this is ours. Oof, good luck, guys.
The politics.
Yeah, good luck. That was on mybroadband.co.za this week. Well, that's our first bit for Tech Thursday for today. A bit of music coming your way now, and then we carry on with our next story. Kane, what have you got for us today after the break?
We're going to be talking about the anti-Kythera mechanism, which was the first old analog computer that was found in a Roman wreck about a couple of years ago, quite a few thousand years old. Very weird, very spooky, but the first bit of tech on our planet, possibly. And Microsoft to buy AI and speech technology from the tech firm Nuance.
Get the eRadio SA app right now for free on the Google Play Store. Entertainment radio on the go.
If you haven't done so already, make sure you get the eRadio SA app from Google Play Store right now. Kane, can you give us some reasons why they have to do that?
What's that?
Get our app.
Oh, everybody, you got to get the app because it makes it 10 times easier.
It's easier. You don't have to look around for links. You just literally open the app and it starts playing.
You unlock your phone, you swipe to the app, you click it and you press play. And yeah, there you are. You're listening. You're in tune, everything.
And you can open the menu and then you can listen to our podcasts.
Yes.
So you can stop the stream or you can send us a WhatsApp directly to the studio without looking for the number and all that stuff.
And if you see a song that you like, you just swipe your phone down and look at the top and exactly. You can see it playing back.
Yeah, with the artwork. You can see a photo of the artist. Now, usually that artwork is correct, but I must tell you, once or twice I've seen some weird images there that I don't know where that came from. I'm not responsible for it. It was bordering on soft porn.
That's album covers for you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Somewhere, somehow it gets those images. But anyway, that's interesting. Kane, what have you got for us next?
So we're taking a look at something that I found personally quite interesting. So a while ago, you know, we found this weird device that was actually found or discovered by Greek sponge divers inspecting a Roman era shipwreck back in 1900 near the island of Antikythera in the Mediterranean Sea. Since then, scholars and historians have speculated as to the exact nature of this precision steampunk-like device. Now, what's very interesting about it is it's crafted almost like a bronze clockwork device, meaning it tracks some sort of time, and we'll get into it now exactly what this 2,000 year old computing machine might actually get up to. So a team of scientists and researchers at their University College London have uncovered a significant piece of the puzzle that comprises this fascinating astronomical calculator, which is thought to be a hand cranked mechanical contraption used to predict astronomical events and heavenly logistics. So as you can imagine, Ion, I mean, 2,000 years ago, we're not exactly at the tech-savvy era. I mean, we don't have clocks, We don't have wristwatches. We don't have mobile phones. We don't have microwaves. We don't have many of the normal tech that we see each and every day. And now they find some sort of astronomical kind of tracker that can do a few unique things. So take a look at some of the things that this little device can do. So it was fabricated using a complex intermeshing of 30 surviving gears and was harnessed to not only predict the positions of the sun, moon and the planets, lunar and solar eclipses and astronomical phenomena, but also dates for the ancient Olympics.
Yo.
Now this is a device 2,000 years old.
No, but what was the RAM?
What was the RAM? Exactly. And the interesting thing is it was analog, so it utilized gears and mechanisms.
Oh wow!
In order to calculate analog, yeah. And keep this information understood.
Sure.
And first of all, I mean, the amount of knowledge and understanding that you have to have in order to build a device which is tracking these, you know, astronomical events, some things such as like the position of the sun and the moon and the planets and even dates for the ancient Olympics. I mean, it's recording, you know, it's not simple information that it's recording. It's complex. It's above and beyond their pay grade. It makes you wonder what its exact functionality might have been. And then the scientists who created the digital model, they say ours is the first model that confirms to all the physical evidence and matches the descriptions in the scientific inscriptions engraved on the mechanism itself, explains lead author Professor Tony Freeth with UCL Mechanical Engineering. The sun, moon, and planets are displayed in an impressive tour de force of ancient Greek brilliance. How interesting, right?
Very.
To think that something like that was used so long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that people are using hammers and stones to make farms and do very basic things. And here they are caring about the stars and the moon and eclipse and solar and astronomical phenomenon more than we do. More than the average person does. So my question is, how many of these devices existed? Was it, you know, was it something so significant that whoever had possession of the device had economical benefit or agricultural benefit, or what was the benefit that this device was constructed for? More questions than answers, but yeah. Very interesting.
And how many are still undiscovered?
You don't know, you know, and what have we looked at and passed by that might have been more technologically advanced and things like that? How much stuff was uncovered that was just thought of, you know, because that was like the time in the 1900s and things like that. And I mean, 2000 years ago, it was the time of antiques, you know, you just very pottery this and pottery that. We might have found a lot of things that may have been used for something more advanced. But on to the next story. So Microsoft is to buy AI speech technology from Nuance for $16 billion.
Of course.
Okay. Only lots of zeros whenever you hear Microsoft.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not surprised.
How many, you know, they have to have checks that are longer just so they can fit all the zeros on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do when they have, you know, deflation coming into play in 20 years from now. They're going to sound like they're doing stuff like Zimbabwe did. Comes as Microsoft builds up its cloud computing operations for healthcare and business customers. So healthcare and business customers, you can see, would probably do very well with AI and speech recognition technology, especially to achieve mundane tasks. You know, you can say someone in healthcare could say, hey, computer, print, you know, today's report for patient X. And now the report is coming in and you can maybe throw in some analogies or special terminology that gathers all this information. It could really help speed up processes and client relationships and things like that. So Microsoft is to buy the artificial intelligence and speech technology from Nuance for $16 billion as it tries to expand its computing operations for healthcare and business customers. Nuance is known for pioneering speech technology and helping to launch Apple's virtual assistant Siri, which operates in 28 countries and reported revenues of $1.5 billion in its last full financial year. So the Massachusetts-based company said it served 77% of U.S. hospitals, providing services including clinical speech recognition, medical transcription, and medical imagery. Very interesting. The deal comes after companies went into partnership in 2019 to automate clinical administrative work, such as documentation. So, Microsoft offer of a $56 a share represents a premium of 22% on Nuance's most recent closing price. Nuance's shares were up 16% at $53 around midday in New York on Monday. Very interesting. I mean, these are big players making big moves. They're thinking money in the future. I mean, Microsoft, even Facebook. I mean, Facebook bought WhatsApp for billions and still hasn't actually derived a revenue from it. It is unpaid for in terms of covering its balances. So it's very, I think it's a lot of it can be a hit and a miss in the tech industry, hey? I mean, you got to really pump money in, sipping $16 billion, and they don't even have the MVP yet, you know. They don't even have the minimum viable product as far as I can see. So sure, they really have money to spend and they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
There's a 10-year plan or a goal in mind.
It has to be, yeah.
Has to be for that amount of money.
I hope so. I would hope so. Well.
Pray so.
Yes. Well, moving on, Kane, thank you. That was very interesting. Dating apps, everybody knows about the dating apps. We actually spoke about ghosting this week on Greatness Coaching with Heidi M. Why people ghost each other online. And ooh, you find that quite often now with the dating apps. You're still talking to somebody and then boom, they just vanish or whatever, and you find that you've been blocked and for absolutely no reason. And that kind of rejection or disappearance is called ghosting.
Yes.
Apparently it comes way back in time. People ghosted each other in the 80s already by not sending each other mail back.
Reply back to the mail.
Or just tearing up your fax.
A lot easier to cover your own backside there. You just say, no, you know, maybe the letter didn't arrive. I mean, you can't do that on WhatsApp.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
The message.
Or Tinder. I mean, it's so easy to just go, click, unmatch, you know.
Yeah,
and then, yeah, I mean, you don't have to explain anything, but it kind of hurts the other person on the other side. But dating apps have been around for a couple of years now, and some of them have video chat capabilities to their apps. I know on Tinder, you can, if you have mutual permission, you can start a video conversation, but the other one has to confirm and say yes. But now Facebook is adding a video chat dating app to the mix too, but with a twist. You'll be speed dating profiles for 4 minutes at a time, leading to a 10-minute chat if it went well, with the option of taking it to the next level by exchanging contact information to move the conversation to other platforms that Facebook owns. That would be WhatsApp. I mean, usually on a dating app, if it goes well, hey, let's go chat on WhatsApp because it's not lacquer here. Let's go chat. So now they kind of actually helping you with that, which is quite interesting. Facebook's new product experimentation team, an MPE, which works on experimental apps for where the company is busy testing the app, which is called Sparked. The Sparked website, which now appears to have been taken down, sets itself apart from other popular dating apps by promising no public profiles, no swiping, no endless DMs, and no cost.
So you just connect with the person face to video and you just set off upon a conversation. I mean, have you ever gone to the unmoderated section of Omegle?
No.
I don't.
I've been in other chat rooms and it is crazy.
You don't want to go there. I mean, that's out of bounds zone. And I just hope and I just pray that this doesn't happen to Facebook. I mean, you basically, for the person sitting there, you don't know what is about to come upon you at the next person. I mean, there's so much moderation that you can do until you're having a live video with someone. You can't really moderate that or preemptively do anything unless you have some maybe smart AI or something scanning it. But I can see a few people just, let's go to the next video. Nope, out of there.
What's right popping away up there? Yeah. Not a face.
No, you don't want to be there.
Not a pretty face. Oh my gosh, this is scary. You know, the online world is so scary and people love trolling. I mean, it is just, it's creepy because you're so exposed. People can just say what they want and no responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
Keyboard warriors, you know what? Keyboard warriors, as they call them. Yeah, say what you want, do what you want, even if your name shows and whatever, you won't.
Spaceball astronauts, yeah, basically. Yeah,
you won't, there's no responsibility, so you can just do whatever you like. That's not cool.
I wonder how I was gonna keep an eye on it. We gotta keep an eye on it, because if it works, it could be really interesting. I mean, what a competitor to something like Tinder, because if you're on Tinder, let's look at the user for a second here. If you're on Tinder, you're swiping, you might have a few active conversations, you might have a few active dates.
Just checking my Tinder.
Yeah,
quickly.
But you can go from Tinder to WhatsApp to Twitter to Instagram. When you're on Facebook and you're video dating, quote unquote, you're engaged, you're watching the video, you're in front of your device, you're not going on Tinder at the same time, you're not going on Twitter at the same time, you're not going on Instagram at the same time, you're engaged in a live conversation. So it'll be interesting to see how the competitors come back with something, because the whole goal of these apps is to keep your users on the app for as long as possible. And now you have an app which is basically engineered to only keep you on that app. I mean, you're only supposed to be utilizing the Spark. I mean, it might not be that it was curated for that purpose, but that's definitely what the user's going to be doing. He's going to be fully engaged, fully immersed, fully communicating, and not using any of the other dating apps.
I have 5 new matches on Tinder.
Oh, really?
I just logged on.
How many on Spark?
No.
We don't know about that yet.
No.
Did it say where they're testing this?
No.
So maybe...
My guess would be America.
Yeah. No, that's got to be America. By default. Or India, no. Or something like that. Yeah. India is a popular testing ground. Lots of people... Very quick results. It's very easy to see bugs.
I didn't even know that. That's very interesting.
It's cheaper as well per user. I mean, if Facebook wants to make an advertisement, they don't necessarily have a cost, except that their cost is whatever the lowest price of the ad that they're replacing by putting their ad in front of you. You know, so it'll be interesting to see where they chose to launch the product, how they might have decided that where it might be more logical. Did they look at any kind of data statistics? Did they see, you know, if users are more active in USA or India or Germany or Italy? Or because Italy would be a class demographic of an older generation, so would they be targeting youngsters or older? I mean, very interesting to find out a little bit more, follow the story. I mean, keep listening in next week. Maybe we'll see what they're up to.
And maybe I'll have more matches. Kane, what have you got for us after the break?
So, South Africa has some big plans. 3 smart cities planned for South Africa.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about what those smart cities are and what they might actually include for the average person who would go into such a city. And the government is planning to develop online IDs for all South Africans. So, it's basically
that.
Your online government-issued identity.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
And we'll talk about some of the benefits of that.
And I wonder where the closest smart city will be. I can't wait for that.
Very
interesting. You're going to tell us all about it.
Your systems are offline.
Eve Radio Live, powered by TCS Wi-Fi.
You know what? I actually wouldn't mind a lovely, huge watermelon right now. That's Harry Styles and Watermelon Sugar. When last did you have a nice watermelon, Kane?
Joe, that's, I think, probably maybe a month or two ago.
Oh, okay. Now, I can't say the same. I don't think I had any watermelon this past summer. That's terrible.
The ultimate question, do you eat the pip or do you not eat the pip?
No, I spit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I just used to full on eat.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get one, you know, those old wives' tales about something growing in your belly and whatever. So you kind of, no,
you
but
don't
it's not
want
like
a watermelon growing in your belly.
No.
It's too big.
I just want a nice watermelon without the pips, you know, because it's so
seedless
nice.
Watermelon.
Yeah, you get those.
I have no
and
idea.
You could just yum 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 without, because it's so terrible when you bite on one of those pips. It's not lekker.
Yeah.
It spoils the experience.
I watched a video of a guy that was like had like maybe 300 elastics or whatever, and he put all the elastics on the watermelon until it cut the watermelon in half.
Ah, that's clever.
Super interesting. But the watermelon like exploded. He was wearing those goggles that you have for swimming underwater on, and everything is fully prepared.
Was that a YouTube video?
That was a YouTube video.
I thought so. Kane, what have you got for us next year on Tech Thursday?
So we have our smart cities planned for South Africa. So
ooh, yes. Any closest to us?
I mean, we definitely know of the areas. They're it's kind of, you know, towards Joburg, Durban, and Cape Town.
Oh.
But these these smart cities aren't necessarily just smart because of technology. So President Ramaphosa announced that several new post-apartheid cities are being conceptualized across the country in his February 2021 State of the Nation address. There have been a number of questions raised about what a smart city actually means for South Africa, and Kashif Talib, expertise leader for urban planning and land infrastructure at engineering consultant Zutari, says that a smart city is a city that leverages innovation to achieve its desired outcomes. It just sounds a little bit like a sales pitch, but here innovation does not necessarily mean only technology, he said. A smart city is a city where opportunity, amenity, safety, resilience, inclusivity, and prosperity are imperatives, and innovation across financing, design, construction, operations, and governance is embraced by all stakeholders to achieve these imperatives. So it's basically like a very well curated ecosystem, a city which is ecologically stable, if we're looking at finance in that fashion. The fact that innovation is such an integral part of smart cities makes for a natural fit between smart cities and sustainability. The emphasis on digital platforms also enables data collection, and the availability of large data sets is one of the first steps towards optimization. So here I think they're talking about the ability to collect data on a city-wide scope, which, you know, data is the name of the game. Facebook collects data, sells it to advertisers. Google collects data, sells it to advertisers. A city which collects data would, in essence, also be able to sell it to advertisers and things like that. So the city itself is able to collect data about itself and things like that. And below are three planned cities currently in the works for South Africa, which meets these criteria. So the first one is Lanseria.
Okay.
The aim of the Lanseria Smart City development is to create the first post-apartheid city in South Africa based on best practice in urban sustainability and the principles of underpinning the smart city. It is to be inclusive of the broadly defined South Africa socio-economic spectrum and must stipulate a vibrant mixed urban economy, the master plan state. So this is obviously going to be BEE. It's going to be containing all of the usual parameters that we see here in South Africa. The city will be built surrounding the Lanseria International Airport north of Johannesburg in a project which is expected to take 25 years to complete. Knowing South Africa, it'll probably be 125 years or stop on the 75th year.
Yeah, because somebody's going to steal everything.
The cables are going to be gone. Someone stole the highways or something. You know, you don't know.
No, for sure. Listen, I'm actually, I'll put money on it. It's going to be stolen. They will steal your city.
The whole city. Just gone.
Overnight.
All the aluminium.
Yes, overnight. No, definitely.
Sitting in the center of the development, the airport will be the main economic driver for the city's growth. Strong residential growth in the surrounding areas is expected, which would be supported by improvements to existing roads in the area. The Lanseria Smart City will feature rainwater harvesting and solar energy to limit its carbon footprint.
I like that.
And that's really cool. I think it's an important imperative for every city, because a single government or a single country cannot by itself become carbon, have a good carbon footprint or be economically green or any of those sort of things, because it's actually microsystems within the country that are dictating these things. It starts at the cities and then the businesses in the cities, and the businesses in those cities have to follow rules and stipulations created by that city or by that state. Very, very interesting. Thinking what we could see as benefits starting from the right at the beginning, from the infrastructure and things like that. Because today, in today's age, when we're upgrading and we're developing on existing cities, you're not able to pre-plan. You're not able to pre-plan road infrastructure. That's why some main roads in South Africa, which go through an entire town, are two lanes wide. And if you go to Hong Kong, you have like 10-lane wide roads. The infrastructure is there to accommodate the scalability of it all. And being able to be there in that planning phase, look at real-life scenarios and shortcomings and things like that that we face, and then being able to erect that into an entire city is You know, it's priceless. So the next city will be the Durban Aerotropolis. The Durban Aerotropolis aims to become a premier business and trade hub in sub-Saharan Africa. The plan will turn the entire surface area around King Shaka International Airport into a smart city with diversified economic activities that will boost the province's economy. The city will cover 2,000 hectares of land as well as 10,000 hectares of green space for expansion. Jeepers, 12,000 hectares, of which only 2,000 will be used. It seems like a little bit. The development is also expected to create over 750,000 jobs.
Sure, that's good.
Wow. According to the official website for the Aerotropolis, the region will ultimately see over a 1 trillion rand in potential investments and over 1.5 million residents. So that's quite a population. Considering our little town of Knysna is about 70,000.
Mm.
And if we had to build the whole of Knysna, it would probably be quite a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about building a business center, a residential center,
sure,
an industrial center. I mean, it's going to be a massive, massive ordeal. Mm-hmm. Akon even wanted to build a crypto city at one time. I think he even Akon. Does, but not yeah. in South Africa. I think it's in Africa somewhere. These components include a freight-orientated development with, at its heart, a world-class cargo facility managed by a single handler, Dubai Trade Port Corporation. That's dodgy. It is purpose-built, and it is one of the few developments worldwide which incorporate a greenfield site, which additional surroundings land availability for carefully planned and controlled expansion. I mean, this is insane. And then we have the Mooikloof megacity. Officially launched by the president in October 2020, the Mooikloof megacity development is said to be built just in the east of Pretoria. The development has a total value of over 84 billion rand is one of the 62 strategic integrated projects. The first phase of the project is residential developments, and some 50,000 sectional title units are planned. I mean, these are not by any means necessary small goals and projects. Mm. They are massive.
Massive, yeah.
Massive projects. And where's the money coming from to build these? I mean, we're talking 44 billion, 9 billion, 84 billion.
Where's it coming from, Kane?
Where's it coming from?
No, where? Seriously.
And who gets paid?
And where's it going?
Who gets
That's
paid?
My concern.
Yeah. No, money doesn't come from nothing, and it seriously doesn't just pop in. And we know that some of China's infamous strategic growth strategies is to fund African countries, and when they cannot afford to pay it back, they seize control of that property and it is theirs. And if this is the case, yo, I hope we got our ducks in a row. I'm not too sure how the funding is working, but let's get these, if it's possible and it's economically sustainable and we can do it, wow, in 25, 50 years from now, we could have some serious Dubai-styled cities.
Yeah, is there any way we can keep government away from it?
That's
no.
That would be very clear. That would be an advantage, perhaps. But I don't think we have enough of a private sector.
Yeah.
To go into something.
So, what
like
do you
that.
Think is going to happen if they can't even roll out vaccines properly?
I mean, we're talking about the people that will buy vaccines with only a 2-week window to use all the vaccines, otherwise they expire. I mean, we don't have our reputation sheet doesn't seem kind of put out right that we can maybe manage this massive, massive development or this massive, massive project. But if it is funded externally by China, UAE,
yeah, I'm thinking
America,
China.
If it's funded by any of those enterprises, they know what they're doing.
Mm.
They are actually going to be able to erect it properly. I mean, China can build a city in a month if they really wanted to. And they would be able to liaise with us in such a way that we don't make those mistakes. So I would hope that there is some level of external backing or external expertise, at least, because we don't have a super smart city already to work off of. We see where it works in other countries, which is an advantage. But to be able to have someone in our court that can develop such massive projects and manage material needs and workload. I mean, creating 750,000 jobs means 750,000 people have to learn how have to be managed and paid, and that's an ordeal. I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Let's see what happens. Anyway, there's a question for you, Kane. I don't know the answer. We might have to Google it, but you are so clever. So let's see. Does 4G use more data than 3G?
Does 4G use more data than 3G? Well, if you ran a 4G connection downloading at its maximum speed for an entire day, and you ran a 3G connection downloading at its maximum speed for an entire day, you will download more with a 4G connection.
Yeah.
Considerably.
Because it's faster.
A 4G connection can go up to 80 megs a second, even more in some cases. Sometimes less, so let's say anywhere between 40 and 60 megs a second, where your average 3G connection might break anywhere between 5 and 10 megs a second. So you're likely to download anywhere between 3 to 10 times more data.
Yeah, so you're going to use more data because it's faster.
If you're consistently downloading, if you're doing the same thing, so if you're watching one episode back on Netflix on a 3G connection and you're watching one episode back on Netflix with a 4G connection, you won't use more data. You might buffer on the 3G connection, but you will use the same amount of data getting the same information to your screen.
And that's why we have Kane on the show, because he's so bloody brilliant. No need for Google. Kane, also, you know, we spoke about Vodacom earlier. You know, you can't eat your cell phone. Times are tough. But Vodacom has now announced the launch of VodaLend Voucher Advance. It allows you to buy food and appliances on credit. I wonder if MTN and the others will also join in now. I don't know. Because
PepLend? Can you imagine PepLend?
Yeah.
You know, or like 7-Eleven Borrow. You know, who else is going to jump on the lending train?
Ooh, credit, it's dangerous. But anyway, Vodacom customers can now access vouchers from two leading brands, thanks to the introduction of Voucher Advance. It's an innovative lending proposition and the first of its kind for SA consumers, the company said. Through Voucher Advance, Vodacom customers can choose to pay now and buy vouchers at a discounted rate, or get an advance and pay it later. To qualify for the Voucher Advance, customers need to be active on the Vodacom network for at least 6 months, as well as have a proven track record of buying airtime or data bundles. So that's fair enough. Currently qualifying Vodacom customers can access an interest-free advance on a Nando's voucher starting from 25 Rand, or a 250 Rand advance on vouchers from Hershey's. That's the homeware store.
I can actually see where this stems from. I mean, this is an evolution. This isn't just a single product that Vodacom has launched. I can remember when I used to have a Vodacom SIM card, I could actually request, I think it was called an airtime advance.
Yes, you can still do it. Yeah.
And I could get 15 Rand or 10 Rand airtime advance.
And then next time when you load airtime, it takes it off
with an extra Rand.
Yeah. Oh, what's
yeah, so
oh, there was interest.
If
I forgot.
If you got 10 Rand, then you paid back 11. And you couldn't get your next airtime advance until you paid back your first airtime advance. And it worked really well. It saved me quite a few times and also screwed me quite a few times.
Yeah, because you load it and you forget.
Like, I have no airtime. Let me just put in this 10 Rand quick one. I don't
have no airtime.
Negative 1 Rand airtime. And that's by the time you get home, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It will be interesting to see how it works in the actual, you know, in the shop. I mean, I will definitely use it. If I can get a Nando's advance and I'm at Nando's and I have no money, I'm going into Nando's. And I'm
Brie, we don't even have a Nando's, do we?
I'll go to George. I'll travel.
Nando's is great. But anyway, Vodacom customers, just note, once a voucher has been issued, you have 30 days to pay it back without paying interest. Vouchers remain valid for 3 years from the issue date. Vodacom customers can now access the Voucher Advance under Vouchers in the My Account tab on the My Vodacom app. That's the Voucher Advance button under Vouchers in the My Account tab of the My Vodacom app. Kane, I can't believe it, but it would appear that we are out of time yet again.
It would appear.
Sorry, I watched too much BBC.
Well, it's been a fantastic show, as is every week. I think we really juiced out this week in terms of topics.
Yeah, and we covered
quite a good amount. I mean, very interesting topics. I'm looking forward to next week to follow up on some of these topics and some of these big projects that are launching. So, I mean, come and tune in every week and hear about the new news, the follow-up on the news and the things that we discuss all the time. And I think this is actually one of the first things where we didn't speak about crypto or Bitcoin.
Yes, wow.
And one thing about crypto or Bitcoin is a South African firm actually just raised some money in their cryptocurrency firm. They're called Revix, and they raised 58.5 million in their crypto investment platform that claims to have some quote-unquote behavioral loyalty model that incentivizes investors to undertake smart investment decisions. Very interesting, but it is the time of financial tech for sure. So this kind of stuff is very hot at the moment. People are looking to fund projects like these. Catch in next week. We're at a bull run in crypto at the moment. There's some big price movements.
You would know. I have absolutely no idea. I was just, I shut up when you talk about crypto. I go, wow.
Smile and wave.
It's your area, but it's very, very interesting. Yes, remember also, if you just joined us, you can always catch the podcast up later in the next 24 hours. We actually want you to listen live between 3 and 4 on a Thursday, but now you have to wait until tomorrow if you missed it. It's almost like the STV catch up. Gotta wait a bit now, otherwise. Anyway, thank you, Kane, as always, for your time and for joining us, and looking forward to next week, Thursday at 3 o'clock. So glad we can do it in studio now. No more Zooming.
Absolutely free from the messenger applications. We are now live in studio, so you can send us your WhatsApps.
No delays.
No delays, except when I'm not paying attention.
Yes, exactly. But also thank you to 0776 saying another great Tech Thursday. Looking forward to the next. Thanks, Kane and Jan. Thank you to you, 0776. That's what I do when I don't have a name on the WhatsApp.
They know who you're talking about.
Yeah, just give the last four digits. We're wrapping up now. Thanks, Kane.
All right, cool. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.